This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to it. A foggy and kind of cool Saturday morning.
Yes, indeed.
But that's to be expected this time of year, I suppose.
Yeah, it is.
All right. I'm Igor, and with me, as always, is Master Gardener Bob Harris. And we are going live on Facebook right now. So if you would like to maybe drop a comment in there, maybe a question to Bob that way, you can do that. Also, garden at WESB.com is our email address. What's on the agenda today, Bob?
Talking about this time of year, it's actually my favorite time of the year. Because of the fall color, and I want to tell people, be sure to get out there and appreciate it. And it's fun to watch it, all these different stages. You know, it's just beginning now, but it's get out and take a ride. It's going to be a great one, it looks like. So enjoy that fall color. But also, since it is becoming fall, if you got houseplants outside or out on that porch, it's time to bring them in. But first, before you bring them in, look them over real well, because they probably got bugs in them from being outdoors or even that three-season room. So really inspect them and try to get rid of any bugs there. My favorite way is set your hose on a spray, you know, a gentle spray, and give them a real good bath. That will dislodge most of the insects. Then really check the soil out. And if there's any fungus on it, you know, try to scrape that off. If you have to scrape a lot off, then add some new soil.
I like that, the very gentle spray. So you don't do the fire hose setting them?
Yeah, not the fire hose. Yeah, the mist spray there. Real fine droplets. And check that soil over real well. Possibly add some dish soap to some water. You know, in your watering can, I always like to describe it as this way. Dawn dish soap, the liquid dish soap, is probably the best. A gallon of water, and then just take your Dawn and go.
Okay, that much.
Yeah, that much soap into the water. Kind of stir it up, then really soak your plants with it. What that's going to do is that soapy film is going to surround a lot of insects or their eggs and kill them off for you, so that you're not going to bring them into the house, because once you bring them into the house, of course, that environment is so much better. They're going to multiply like crazy. So take care of it before you bring them in the house.
I never even think of the unhatched insects.
You know?
It's like I see them. Okay, that's one thing, but they have hidden eggs.
Uh-oh. Hidden eggs.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, by that spraying first, you're going to spray the top of the foliage, lay your plant down, spray underneath. So any of those insects that like to lay their eggs under the leaf, you can possibly dislodge them too. But then that soil, you know, that real good soaking of the soapy water is going to take care of the eggs in the soil. Many, many insects lay eggs in the soil an inch or two deep. And so we want to get rid of them before they hatch. So giving your plant also that hosing is going to get rid of a lot of dust particles that are on the leaves, so the leaves can absorb more of that sunlight and look better and be able to produce chlorophyll much better. So taking care of your houseplants, that's real important before you bring them in. And now's the time to bring them in before it gets a little too cold. Also this time of year, it's my favorite time to put in a new plant. And why? Because the plant's needs, and that means any plant, perennials, not any plant, not annuals, but perennials, trees, and shrubs, any of those new plants, their needs are really reduced because they're going to sleep this time of year. So you don't have to water and watch it constantly to make sure it's going to survive. You can basically plant a new plant, tree, shrub, perennial, give it a good hard watering. I say hard watering. That means a lot of water that first time. And then basically you can walk away from it it'll be fine because those roots are going to continue to grow even if the top of the plant is gone and frost has knocked it down. The roots are still going to continue to grow because the soil is still warm enough yet. And they'll be able to search out, find new soil, new water and food sources. And then come spring, it's ready to really take off. So this is my favorite time because it's so easy to plant. A lot less aftercare right now. Let's see. With our perennial beds, a lot of people question, should I cut them back or shouldn't I cut them back? Should I clean up the perennial bed or not clean up the perennial bed? And that's going to be up to you. A lot of people like to leave it because a lot of those perennials are developing seed now. It may not be real pretty, but they're developing seed that's going to, over the winter, drop to the soil, make their way to the soil, and become new plants. The other side is a lot of those perennials, if you don't cut them back, may be harboring a disease or an insect pest. And by not cutting it back, you're letting them survive and the population can grow next year. So it's kind of a toss-up. A lot of people will suggest one way or the other, but it's really up to you what you really think is right.
What about like for black-eyed Susans?
Yeah, those, if you're going to cut them back, save some of those seed heads and just wipe over them. The seeds will pop out and they'll fall to the ground. You need those new seeds every year to make your black-eyed Susans a bigger amount of them.
Okay.
More of them. So they are perennials that grow from seed. A lot of wildflowers grow from seed. So those people that have wildflower gardens, you're going to want to leave them in place. Don't cut them back yet unless you're going to go around to every seed head and give them a good brushing or just drop that whole thing down to the ground. And so you'll have the wildflowers for next year. If you cut them back and clean it up, you're probably not going to have as good a wildflower patch as you expected. So it's important to leave some of them seeds there for next year's growth.
Is that only if you want them to expand, or is that like necessary just to keep them going?
Some plants, it's necessary to keep them going. I'll say like the columbine. That one is only good for, it's a perennial, they call it, but it's only good for a couple years. Mm. So it's got to reseed in order to keep coming back year after year. Of course, the plant's not going to be in the same place as it was when you first planted it, but there are other perennials there that are like that too. We call them perennials. We say they come back year after year, but really it's a technical thing. They don't really. Lupin is another one. Some of those other ones are off my mind right now.
What about the black-eyed Susan, though, specifically? Because that's what I have. Oh, okay. I was just kind of wondering about, you know, we have just like a little section of them.
Okay.
So are they one of the ones that'll go away after a couple of years if they don't reseed?
Not necessarily. They can reproduce a couple different ways. They can reproduce by multiplying from their root system, but better off they reproduce by their seed that falls to the ground. So if you do want to cut them back, just nip off a couple of those tops of those old dried up flowers and let them hit the ground so that that seed can disperse, we call it,
okay.
and then become more plants.
Don't cut them off low?
Don't, yeah, you leave the foliage, but cut them down to, you know, like 3, 4, 5, 6 inches around that area,
okay.
depending on what you really want. But they still will multiply, even if you cut all the tops off, raked it out, took that away. They still will. They've probably already dropped some of their seed by now. And many perennials are like that. Some people will say, no, mine multiply no matter if I cut them back or not. But if you really want them to multiply successfully, you got to leave a few of those seeds there.
Great. Thank you very much for answering my question. If you have a question, please join us on Facebook Live, facebook.com/WESB1075. And you can comment on the live video, and then we'll answer your question that way. Or email garden@WESB.com.
Now, still talking about the perennial beds and the seeds, some of us like the birds. And this can be a huge food source for the birds by not cutting back our perennials. Of course, we're taking a risk of bad bugs surviving and so on. But hopefully the birds and other little creatures are going to take care of them for us. So if you really like the birds, like I do, leave those perennials. Don't cut them back. Leave those seed heads so the birds can have a food source all winter long there. So, again, it's up to you whether you cut them back or not. You know, there's really no right or wrong to it. It's all according to how you want to. Maintain your garden.
Terrific.
So another thing, with talking about seeds, weeds in your lawn or the garden beds, they're also producing a lot of seed. Some of them can produce up to 1,000 seeds per plant. And so it's a good idea if you really want to keep your flower beds and vegetable garden and all that really weed-free, that you take care of the weeds as soon as you see them. But also weeds in your lawn, let's say, they can harbor pest and disease that can affect your other plants. So by having a weedy lawn, and I know that's becoming real popular to support the pollinators, you know, let a lot of weeds grow in your lawn, they're going to flower and have all the nectar for your insects. You can do that another way by planting lots of annuals and perennials that flower. So your lawn, you're able to get rid of those weeds there because those weeds in your lawn can harbor a lot of insects, bad insects, and a lot of disease. The insect can go from weed to weed, picking up the disease and going to your perennial. And then that disease gets on your perennial and could destroy it or harm it. So taking care of the weeds in your lawn can be really important. And again, then you can support the pollinators by planting plenty of perennials and annuals to take care of that.
So,
to me, I like to take care of the weeds in my lawn.
When you say bad bugs, that just, I don't know why this just came to mind.
Okay.
But every time I like dig around and, you know, do something with the lawn or the yard, dig it a little bit, potato bugs. I always call them potato
okay.
bugs. Some people call them roly-polies. I don't know what they're really called.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what I'm talking
yes.
about?
Yes, I do.
What do those do for plants, or are those harmful? What?
They're really not harmful at all.
What do they do?
They feed on old dead plant material in the ground.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay.
They really do no harm unless they start getting in your house and they're kind of a nuisance.
I never have them in the house, really. I always see them like if I move something, you know, if you have a log in the yard or something, like they're under it, you know?
Yeah. And a lot of insects do that. They hide in the daytime underneath anything, leaves, an old rock, a log, or whatever, old play toys. They hide under there to be protected from predators like the birds. And it's a good idea to check all those areas. And if you do see a bug that you don't want, you know, that's a good way to get rid of them right then.
I'm just thinking, like, yeah, sometimes I get surprised by one of those little centipedes, too.
Oh, yeah. Ew. And they're not harmful either. Yeah. The roly-polies and the centipedes and a lot of those other insects are beneficial. So it's a good idea, excuse me, to get to know the different insects. You can find it on the internet or books, whatever way you want to. It's a good idea to really search it out when you do see a bug. Try to describe and find out what it is. Should I get rid of it or not? Because many of them are beneficial that are going to get rid of the bad bugs for you. So we don't want to get rid of those bugs.
Right. Exactly.
Boy, that sounded weird. I just said bug about six times, didn't
that's
I?
All right. Well, there's a lot of bugs. So.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a short break.
Okay.
And then we'll be back. I see you did bring in some things to show.
Yeah.
So we'll take a break and thank our sponsor, Worth W. Smith. We'll be right back in 30 seconds. It's The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM.
You know it's coming. That colder weather is on the way. Make sure you're ready with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. It's not too early to start stocking up on wood pellets for your heating stove. If it's time to replace your pellet stove, see Worth Smith for their line of quality Harman stoves. You'll also find a big selection of stove pipes and other heating supplies in stock. And don't forget the antifreeze for your RV. Be prepared for the weather ahead. If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
It's The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. And I saw somebody was trying to call. Unfortunately, our phone's still down.
Oh.
Yeah, Tuesday. We're getting new phones on
Tuesday. Okay.
Allegedly. So we'll see if that pans out. So
okay. So last week I talked about bulbs and planting them. It's a good time, and you should be. Sometimes you got to rush and get your bulbs soon because they can sell out in a hurry. But another way to plant bulbs, which I enjoy every year, is putting them in pots. And the reason I can put them in pots, leave them outdoors for a couple months, and then bring them in, and I can have flowering bulbs by Christmas time.
Wow.
So I want to show you a good way to do that.
Okay.
And I don't have any soil here.
Well, that's okay. We have a good vantage point anyway from where the camera is on our Facebook Live feed. So that's
I'm going to put a little bit of soil, just enough to cover the bottom.
Yeah.
In there, potting soil, the bag potting soil, and then I'm going to start placing. I open this. Yeah. Placing some daffodils on the bottom, right on the bottom, and they can almost be touching each other. So in this size of a pot, which is a pretty large pot, and this is really what they call a bulb pot because it's not very deep.
So about a 12-inch diameter?
Yeah, it's probably 12-inch. So I'm going to put the daffodils all around the bottom, mm-hmm. even into the center, not quite touching each other. So I'm probably going to get 8 or 10 bulbs in there. Then I'm going to put some soil and cover them. Then I can go to the tulips. And now this is going to be a little different with the tulip.
So you start with the daffodil, then you go with the tulip.
Then the tulip.
You have to do that order?
Yes, it's a good idea. The daffodils need deeper soil.
Oh, okay.
So that they go on the bottom.
Okay.
And they get tall. Then, now the tulips. Make sure you don't get a tulip that wants to grow 2 to 3 foot tall. Get the shorter flowering tulips. And you'll see on the tulip bulb, it's round all the way around, and then one side, that doesn't show up well, but one side will be flat. And so you want to put the flat side to the outside of the pot, because when the leaves start to come up and the flower stem, they'll come out of the rounder side.
Oh.
If I turned it around and did it the opposite way, those leaves may grow out away from the pot, and we don't want that because the flower and so on is very heavy, and it'll start to droop. So the flat side against the inside of the pot, And then we can start placing them all around, as many as you want. As long as they're not touching, you can put in another 8, 10, maybe 12 bulbs right in the in that pot. So I hope I explained that.
The flat side against the
flat side
pots.
To the outside of the pot.
Right. You said inside accidentally the last time, so
I just
wanted to clarify that.
Thank you.
So the flat side against the plastic of this pot.
Yes.
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 All right.
And then I can cover them with soil. So now I'm near to the top. Then I can take crocus. And these don't matter which way you plant them. The tulip's the only one that matters. I covered the tulips with soil. Now I can put lots of crocus in there, and probably going to be well over a dozen crocus in there. And then cover that with soil. Then I'm going to give it a good watering, and then set it outside where the temperatures will get really low. It's extremely important. If you don't have an area outside, you can do a smaller pot, put it in the back of the refrigerator, and let it sit there for a couple months.
Wow, cool.
Then
literally.
You
got to keep them cool.
Then you can bring it indoors. Those bulbs will start to grow and then, of course, produce blooms and flower indoors for you much earlier than wait until spring. Then don't throw them away after they're done blooming, because then you can put them back outdoors, let them die off, and then come spring or next fall, you can take them out of the pot. You can regrow them in the pot if you want, or take them out of the pot and then plant them in your garden wherever you want them. So they'll last through all of that business that you put them through.
I was going to say all the mad scientist stuff that you're doing.
It's called forcing the bulb, forcing it to bloom at a time that it's not supposed to bloom.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be really fun. Can be a good thing to do with kids. But use the bag soil, because there's no disease. It's already been sterilized. There's no disease. There's no weeds in it. There's no insects in it. So that's important to use that. I know you're going to leave it outdoors in the cold, or in your garage in a nice cold place, so it can even go through that freeze. The bulbs need that cold period to, we say, to initiate flowering.
Mm-hmm.
They got to be cold for a certain length of time, 10 weeks.
Wow.
8 to 10 weeks. They got to be cold. So that tells them that it's... I'm going through winter. Soon spring will come. You bring that pot in. It warms up. They say, spring is here. Time to bloom in a hurry. So they do grow quite rapidly once you bring them in. And then they'll flower, and you'll get to enjoy your flowering bulbs at an odd time of year.
That's cool. Okay.
Yeah.
An odd time of year. I like it. Yep.
Yeah. It's a fun thing to do.
Have spring... A spring look at Christmas time.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
All right.
You can.
I like it. All right. So we have about 3 minutes left in the show.
Okay.
So what else would you like to talk about today?
I talked about planting this time of year, one of my favorite times to plant. So a couple hints about planting, though. Some of the mistakes people make.
Mm.
Some of them are you plant too close to each other. That can be a big problem. Remember, when you first buy that plant, it may be really small, and then some of them can get really large. And that means digging and dividing, or digging and putting in another area. So give them enough space. All that information's right on the tag of the plant, or you can look it up. So give them enough space, but don't give them too much space. To me... I hope I'm not hurting anybody's feelings.
What's that?
But
what I do?
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong?
But, no, not you. But what looks ridiculous to me is when people plant and put each plant about 6 foot apart.
Oh, yeah.
And lots of mulch in between. To me, that's not planting. That's a mulch bed. That's all it is.
Right.
So don't plant them too close. don't plant them too far
apart. Way far apart, yeah.
Also, that planting way far apart lets a lot of sunlight and into that area and a chance for a lot of weed seeds to take hold and grow. So you do a lot of weeding too, or you do a lot of mulching to kill off those weeds. So don't plant them too close. Don't plant them too far apart. And always check to see, do they need full sun, part sun, or shade? That's real important too for to make the plant as good as it can be.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing too is just running out there and digging a hole and putting a tree or a shrub or a perennial in without really checking over the soil. A lot of us are not blessed with great soil.
No.
So yeah. So sometimes we'll start digging. The color of the soil is going to tell us everything. If it's really dark color, dark brown, then it's probably good soil. If there's rocks in it, that's fine. Take the rocks out. Anything bigger than a quarter, remove them. Anything smaller than a quarter, that's okay. But if your soil is a really light tan color, which most of us have, that's not good soil. That's probably mostly clay. So we have to put some amendments in that area. And maybe in that area, dig a bigger hole, wider, not deeper, but wider, and put lots of amendments, peat moss, compost, manure, anything like that, 50% of it even up to, for most of us in Bradford, and mix it 50-50. Now we have a good soil, so when the plant does get in the ground, it has lots of good soil surrounding it, the roots will jump into that good soil right away instead of that real hard, light-colored tan soil is kind of root restricting. I know a lot of our plants grow in it real well, but it does retard their growth a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So knowing what kind of soil you have, make sure you double check that, add some amendments if you need to. But if you're blessed with great soil, then go ahead and dig the whole plant. Do a real heavy watering. And then you're good for the rest of the year.
Okay, great. Any final thoughts today?
Final thoughts. One more thing, too.
Yep.
Don't put plants too close to the house.
Oh, yeah. I did that by accident.
Yeah. A lot of people, that's common, too. You know, you buy those little tiny baby shrubs, which is okay. We can't all afford a big mature shrub. And then they think they got to plant it a foot away from the house. Well, that shrub may want to grow to be 5-6 foot wide. And now, of course, it's growing right against the house. And
coming in the window.
Coming in the window. Not being able to do what it's supposed to do. Maybe even rooting into your drainage system and causing problems. So a rule of thumb is 5 foot away from the house.
Mm, that would have been nice. Yeah. See, I bought the house with the close plants already in there.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, boy.
And sometimes you'll be successful with no trouble, but a lot of times you're just looking for trouble by planting those plants. Especially they're young. They're going to grow much, much bigger. So give them room to grow, and you'll be a lot better off. Also, by planting too close to the house, most of us have a cement or a cement block foundation. That's always leaching a little bit of lime. A lot of plants don't like lime, and so that can affect their health by that way too. So get them at least 3 to 5 feet away from the house, away from all the problems that could occur in the future.
Great advice as always. Back next week?
Yeah.
Indeed. All right. It's The Gardening Show, sponsored by Worth W. Smith. Thank you so much for listening. And it's on demand now at WESB.com under the listen button. And we'll talk to you next week right here on B107.5 FM.